This is Not the Average Real Estate Podcast by Not Your Average Real Estate Investor. Dipna Boholt used real estate investing strategies to completely replace the income from her accountancy practice with passive income in just 18 months and has since taught thousands of others to do the same. Welcome to the I Love Real Estate Podcast.
Welcome everybody, it's Dipna here, founder of the I Love Real Estate community. And in this podcast, I'd like to introduce you to an amazing lady who found herself coming out of a very messy divorce with, you know, violence to herself and children, and walked away with seven children to bring up as a solo mum. Now, out of the divorce settlement, she did end up with a reasonable amount of money. But the story here is more about self-esteem. And it's more about rebuilding yourself and getting that confidence back and getting back to a point where you know that you are deserving of love, deserving of money, deserving of all the goodness in life. And this is a story that I see a lot, right around the country with women and men who walk out of divorce a little bit broken. And in Christine's story, she walked away with seven children to bring up on her own. And in the first year out of her divorce settlement, she basically did everything she could to try and get rid of as much money as she could. She paid off her girlfriend's mortgage. She, you know, took the kids on holidays. And then she realized that of course, that's not going to last very long. And in I Love Real Estate, we do a lot more than just real estate. We obviously, fundamentally, we're talking about real estate, but there's a lot of personal growth that comes along with joining the I Love Real Estate community. And this is a story that I'd really like to bring forward to you and show you how Christine's been able to grow, to learn, to be able to make some good, solid, sound investment choices. But more than anything, she found herself. And by being able to find herself and being able to find her voice and her feet and her abilities after being out of work for something like 30 odd years, you know, it's just such an amazing, beautiful story. And in this series of podcasts, I'm actually taking you back to a live event. And at that live event, we held it at the end of last year. And we had about 800 people or so there, and we featured people's stories. And Christine was one of those stories. So I'm going to cut across to the live video that we did at the time, and you can listen to Christine and I having a little bit of a chat on stage about her story and the amazing recovery that she's actually made. And I'll be back on the other side to talk to you again and give you a little bit of a summary and a little bit of an insight into some other things that you can do to improve your situation. See you on the other side, guys. Bye now. So your story goes back a fair way.
It does. It does. It's been a long journey, but yes. It's been a very short journey with you.
So when did you join the I Love Real Estate?
March 2017.
So little over 12 months ago, but 18 months ago.
18 months ago.
Yeah? Okay. So what made you join I Love Real Estate?
Wow. I had no idea what I was going to do with my life. I was like, what do I do now? I'm a mother of seven, single for the first time in 32 years, and financially got money, but what the hell was I going to do with it? So I was like, I don't know. So
yeah.
The first year before Dipna, I spent a bit of money. I gave some money to people, and I took my kids on holiday, and paid off my girlfriend's mortgage, and then was like, oh, maybe I'll do real estate. I've got some real estate. And I saw I Love Real Estate come up on the thing and went, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go to that. And then I was like, oh, no, I'm not. I just put it up there and said, oh, I'm going to go and maybe I'll go. Then when it came to the day, I was like, nah, don't do that. I don't go anywhere by myself. I was too scared. So I went, no, just do it. And I went, and that's changed my life. And she's changed my life forever. And I've now back to my, I feel like I'm 20 again. She's given me back my youth.
So the pre I Love Real Estate, you'd got out of a pretty difficult situation in the divorce. But you did have some money. But from the sounds of it,
you were doing a very good job of getting rid of it.
Oh, very good. Yes.
So,
well, I hadn't had control of it before.
A little bit of control. We need to build you up.
Oh, yes.
We needed to build up your self-worth and your self-deserving, because unless there was some kind of intervention like I Love Real Estate, it was just going to go...
Exactly. That's what I was really worried about. I was like, I was so used to saving and scrimping and saving, and I didn't realise we were actually as wealthy as we were. So having an abusive husband and controlling, and then he was abusive to all of my children, physically and emotionally. And I had no self-belief or self-worth. I hadn't worked for 32 years. What was I going to do?
Yeah. So there's a lot of years that we need to heal.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And no mum around either, so that doesn't help. Yeah, well, no other supports. I was there alone.
And I guess in that situation... I guess in that situation, you know, your immediate friends are probably not the people you could go to for advice and things either, because they're not necessarily doing where you want to be.
No, nobody had property or did anything like that. So,
yeah.
And anyone that did do that was part of his community. Didn't want to go there, so I kept away from anyone that I had been associated really with that friendship group, because he always used to say, oh, what, you've got to invite my friends to your birthday? And I'm like, oh. So
he really isolated you.
Yeah, very isolated. Mm. And but I have my 7 children.
You had your 7 kids. That's
yes,
absolutely correct.
And we're very close.
Yeah. Mm. So after you've paid off your friend's mortgage, which I think is okay.
she was a single mum and she had health issues and she was working her ass off. And I was like, you know what? If something happens to her, she's stuck.
Yeah. So I get that.
Yeah. So I just helped her out. And I was lucky to. She came out of a relationship that wasn't as lucky as what I was, and I was like, "Well, why not help other people?"
Absolutely, help them to fish for themselves.
Yes.
So this was your situation, which was pretty good.
You know,
you did have a good situation that you came into I Love Real Estate with, which is good. So. You know, a few mistakes along the way, obviously buying in your own name and,
well,
you know,
yeah,
all that stuff. You didn't know any
stuff.
Of this stuff
no.
Anyway. So it's okay. Whatever's
that's
the past,
okay.
The past. So yep. We need to move forward from that.
Yep.
Yep.
You know, commercial property that I had no idea what was giving me an income. That's okay.
So you launched yourself off only 18 months ago into a number of deals. So we perhaps should go through those deals?
Well, I didn't do much until the first boot camp. So I did actually buy my daughter at the, which wasn't the first one, the joint venture number 3. I did buy that early, but then nothing really happened with that much. So I went to the first boot camp and I had all these ideas of what I was going to do. And yeah, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And then I sat at the boot camp and went through it. And I sat there at the end of it and cried. And cried and cried in this realisation that, oh, my God, what I was going to do is not going to work. I can't do that. I've got no serviceability. I've got no this. I've got no that. So I didn't know what I was going to do and sat there, and some lovely lady from the real estate community somewhere came up to me, put her arm around me and said, are you okay? And I went, no. And she said, it's okay. We all feel like this after a first boot camp. It's overwhelming. God. But I went home and I thought about it, and it actually just happened one night. I decided, oh my God, do something with what I've got. So my holiday house, it was very run down, and I had been emotionally attached because it was my father's and I inherited it, and I was like, oh, I can't do anything. And then I thought, no, yes I can. I don't want to rent it out permanently because that would then mean it's not mine anymore. And they talked about Airbnbs, and I thought, I can do this. So every weekend for the next nearly 6 months, I went down and I started cleaning that house out by myself, because everybody had thrown their junk there. My daughter, who's overseas, had left all her stuff there. Everyone who didn't want anything out of my family would always leave everything at that house, and it was full. So I started cleaning it out, putting it on the back veranda, and my sister-in-law that I paid her house off would come into the back veranda and take it to the op shop for me. So I just kept piling it up, and I cleaned that house out. I decided what I was going to do to it, and I was going to split it down the middle, put a firewall in, one bedroom unit, put a new kitchenette in, and then a three bedroom unit, and rent them both out. And so I put a security door between the two, which I only have the key for, and I put smart locks on both the new front doors and new
driveway.
You're
really starting to step up here now, girl.
Oh, look, it was fantastic. I just got a flow of all these exciting things I was going to do. So it turned out to be fantastic, but it didn't quite go the way I wanted because the builder was like really not happy with me because there was so much junk still in the house and he had to keep moving it to do one area and then another. And anyway, it took longer than I thought. Didn't get done for that Christmas, but it did get done for probably about March, I think, I started renting it out, and it's the front unit's been busy. I have not had a week or a year that it, or a month, I suppose, that it hasn't actually been earning me income. So always busy, and I'm like, yay.
Very good.
I do all my own photos.
Good.
It's pretty cool.
Well, I do prefer professional ones, but yeah.
Yeah. Well, I should have, but I didn't, and it's been renting, so I thought, oh, well, maybe I don't need to. But at the moment, we're doing the back one, so...
Okay, so you're still working on that one then?
Still working on the last one, which was a little unit for like a little bungalow, or well, garage, three-car garage, that this old man was living in. And I don't know how he lived in there. Once he moved out, I was like, oh, my God, nobody could live in that. And a real estate agent came through to do valuation for me, for the banks, and she said, well, nobody would live here. And I went... somebody was up until 2 weeks ago. And so I was like, oh my God. And so that's been taking a long time. There were still roller doors, and one of the roller doors was flapping in the wind because it wasn't on anything, and he used to put a cupboard against it. So that's now a two bedroom unit, which is fantastic.
Very good. So here's some of the photographs. Yeah.
Yep, that's the unit one. So I made that new front alfresco area, mm-hmm, and new driveway, and that's
very good.
Two. With the three bedrooms.
The before and afters on, yep, top and bottom?
Top and bottom, and got rid of that disgusting old fireplace that we used to have possums come down that and get into the house.
Bless Christine. Every time, you know, this just shows how busy this Airbnb is. It's occupied like 90% of the time. 90%. Every time we have a coaching call, she's in the background. I can see the Airbnb in the background because she's down there cleaning it, getting ready for the next person.
Yeah, I sort of haven't got around to getting a proper cleaning yet, so I'm still doing it, driving an hour there, an hour back, and dragging anyone down with me. The granddaughter comes with me a lot, and she goes, can we go to Rosebud again? I go, yeah. I go, why do you want to go there? She goes, oh, I want to watch Netflix. So she sits and watches Netflix while I clean. That's great.
So this is the one that you're still working on, unit three?
That's the one we're just about to finish, and my son who's here is doing the...
finished one.
No. That's the yucky one in the back, but he's at the bottom photos with the kitchen. That's,
yeah, we're getting finished, there.
So we're just about there.
Very
good.
But
he's actually living in there at the moment while he finishes.
So the commercial property?
That was... I started an SMSF fund,
yes,
which I was like, oh, good, I've got that sorted. What am I going to do?
Mm-hmm.
Financial advisors a week before I went to Dipner's had said, oh, do this and do that and we'll put your money into this and
manage
this
fund.
And manage fund and, yep, we'll get you an apartment in the city, I'll buy it off the market. And I was like, and I went to Dipner's and went back to them and said, no, we're not doing that. I want to buy the property. And it took me about a year, though, to find this. So I did join James Dawson,
mm-hmm,
and joined him and went, oh, this isn't really what I thought because they were all CD-ROMs. Anyway, he kept sending things each month, and so I started inquiring about a few of them, and most of them were in Queensland, and one of those agents sent me this deal, and I went, oh, that looks good. Does that mean I get to fly up to Noosa? Oh, yeah, up to Gympie. I've never been. I don't even know where Gympie is. Anyway, so I did my due diligence this time for the first time, and
she joined Platinum.
Hey, this
and
is
was forced
Platinum.
To do due diligence.
Yeah, I didn't really know how to do it. I still don't know how to do feasibilities properly. Anyway, well, let's not discuss that. don't shake your head. He's trying. Anyway, so I did the numbers, worked it out, went up and had a look at the property, and I went in and got my hair done and pretended that I was just coming there to get my hair done. and to have a little suss of the place and how the business was running, and then flew back down the same day and took my son up with me and went, yep, that's going to be good. Let's do a due diligence clause. So I did that, right, and bought that. But there was a whole lot of dramas on the day of settlement. The day of settlement, I'm at a school thing with my daughter and her granddaughter to go into for school next year, and they're ringing me, the solicitors are ringing me going, we've got a problem. And I went, oh, what? And the people that were selling me the property used to own the business, and they'd put some of the fixtures and fittings in the property. They still wanted to own those fixtures and fittings. And I'm like, how does that work? So they had to then redo the lease, redo the contract on the day, so that they couldn't just come and take all the fixtures and fittings out, because the people who were running it, obviously day spa and hairdressing, they needed all the things in there. So they just redid it on the day, and Danuta, thank you if she's here, I don't know if she's here, but she was fantastic, and the people up in Pacific Law up in this in Queensland all got it sorted for me and rang me, and they said, oh, settlement was only half an hour late. And I was like, yay, it's done, I own it. Oh, wow, who's going to manage it? And I was like, I'm going to manage that one. So I spoke to the owner, the guy who's leasing off me, and he's fantastic, and he just sorts any problems, he sorts them out and lets me know, and we haven't really had any issues except for the storm that was up there recently. So he's sort of gone and sorted all of that out, and it's
$47,000.
$47,000, and I'm like, yay, 8.5%, I think it's just over 8.5% net yield.
So the next one is a JV deal. That's not the JV deal on the baby, is it?
No. This is the one I bought straight after I had been to see you, joined you. And I bought the deal. My daughter was pregnant. She was living in the Rosebud house, so that's why I need to get her out of the Rosebud house. And she fell pregnant while we were actually looking for a property. Mm-hmm. And the market in Frankston was so hot that every time we go to an auction or an inspection, they were going up by $25,000 every week. And I was like, what is going on? We can't afford that. Anyway, we ended up in Carrum Downs. I found one on a corner block that we could subdivide, renovate. Her partner was a builder, so, well, not a registered builder, but a builder that can do renovations. So yep. We decided that you get in there, you can live there, pay me 1.5% and do the renovations. I'll source things, I'll pay for the renovations, and I'll just pay for everything, and then you can, we'll split the back off, you can move into the next one, and then we'll, whatever money we make on the whole deal, we'll go 50-50. And she can use that money then to go and buy herself a house, hopefully. So far it's working out pretty good. The only problem was when settlement came, she was due to have Bubby, and baby came early, 3 weeks early. So she didn't even get into the house, and we had to move everything in there and try and tidy it up so she could come back from hospital 10 days later with Bubs.
Very good. So deal number four.
Deal number four is I had this house already. So it has a really old house on the front, a pretty good house at the back, which that daughter down there is living in with my other granddaughter. And the front house has got a lady who's been in there for like 20 years, and she's paying, because she's so nice and looks after the place, I charge her $265 a week.
Hang on. You got all these kids in your houses. Are they paying market rent?
No.
And then you got the little old lady that's not paying market rent either.
No.
Mick, I see a trend here. What's going
not
on?
Not through a lack of trying. Her heart's too big.
Anyway, look, I was looking at my land tax and I was like...
You realise in Vax term you're a misguided diplomat.
Probably.
You're a misguided diplomat. That's what you are.
Well, my land tax came back and I was like, why am I paying so much for this property? And I looked at my rates and the site value was the same as the projected value or whatever they said. Mm. So I rang the council and I said, why is that? I said, isn't the site value supposed to be so much less? And they said, well, no, because you could have three on that property. And I went, can I have three? And they put me onto the planning department and I spoke to them and they said, no, you can't. And I went, oh, why not? They said, oh, no, it's not zoned for that yet. And I went,
but I'm paying the rates on it.
I'm paying the rates for it. Anyway, I spoke to a designer or a town planner and they said, look, actually, that's come through council, I mean through the state government, and it's got to just hit the councils. And he said, I'll ring you when it does. 2 weeks later, I get the phone call, oh, guess what, you can do that now. And I went, yay. So we've done plans, permits. We've got the permits and plans approved for two more. I'm keeping the back house and relocating the front house because I don't want to, I want to recycle. And so the lady that's in the front, though, we've sort of put this one off because the lady in the front is going to move into the back house and my daughter's going to move down to my next property. My next property deal. Oh dear. So to do
Mick.
To do that, she
called a philanthropist.
To do that, she offered me. She said, "Look, do you want me to pay you some more money? I'll put the rent up to $300."
And you said, "Yes, we'll pay you some more money." Yes. Good.
So
okay.
She's paying me $300.
We're moving in the right direction.
To give us till Christmas. So she's got till Christmas, till my daughter can move into the other one, and then she'll move into the back house and the building will start.
So is this the relocatable with the next child in it?
That's the relocatable, yep. And that's not with the new child. That's the guy who, that's one of my children that's going to actually do the work on the relocatable and do all the
Well, I guess there's some saving grace for having seven children.
Hmm. It is. It is.
It would be my worst nightmare.
It's just a matter of organisation. No, it doesn't happen very often. But my big thing is just do, everything is in chaos, so you just work in chaos. Life's chaos.
No.
If I waited like I did, I would be still waiting and still in that disgusting relationship. So, you know. Right.
So we got profit coming.
We got profit coming. So right. Profit out of that one's going to be awesome and the builder's going to do a deal with me so I don't actually have to loan any money. So,
and you've got feasibilities on all of these and Mickey T's checking them all.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. So deal number six.
Deal number six. Relocate it. Oh, no, subdivision. This is the one that my daughter's going to go and live in while I get the plans and permits and everything done.
Okay.
So this one I bought and it's in Seaford, so it's less than 500 metres from the train station. It's got a childcare centre just around the corner, playground, private school it backs onto, so it's in a really good location. And after talking to Kevin Dooney, he sort of always says, oh, this is going to, you know, you've got to buy within certain distance and you can do more. So I've decided I want to put four on this. Mick doesn't think I'm going to get four and there's a few people that don't, but I think if there's a will, there's a way. I've just got to put it to the council in a way that they think, that's a good idea. So I'm hoping that we'll get four on this one.
But it'll still make money at three.
It'll still make money at three. It'll still make money, actually, probably nearly better at two, but, you know, I'm like, oh, I want to do something different. Try everything.
Okay.
I always wanted to do more than two.
You got your hands full there, boy.
Everybody keeps telling me that.
I keep telling you that. I came to him because I was like, he'd already got myself into this position and gone, oh my God, what have I done? I'm doing too many, I can't control myself. And so, okay, join Platinum.
Now it's Mick's problem.
Exactly. Exactly. Mick's problem, right? Hey, Mick, what about this? No, finish what you're doing.
Yes, finish what you're doing. Okay. We've got seven and eight here.
Seven and eight. Well, one of those is...
Guess what? It's with your kids.
Yeah. No, it's not. No, no, no. My son's mate had a... he's been asking me to do a joint venture with him. He needed a bit of a cash injection for a property he was doing and I was like, oh, I've got money in the bank. Okay, I'll just... And he said, what deal are you going to do me? So we got it drawn up with Danuta.
And you've got an actual joint venture agreement that is signed and market terms.
I've got a caveat on the property. So
good.
That's 15% with 6 months. So I was like, oh, 60,000, 15%. Yeah, that works. And I didn't need the money until 6 months anyway. So okay. That's good. And the last one, I've because my children, okay, there we go again. Because, well, my son's moved down to Rosebud. My daughter's in Carrum Downs and my other daughter's going to be moving in December to Seaford. I'm like, it's always where I wanted to go. I wanted to move down to the peninsula, get away from where I've been living. And to do that, I need to do my PPR and finish the renovation. So I'm going to do the kitchen, which I've got ordered, and I'm going to do a new bathroom upstairs because I made extra bedrooms as soon as we needed more. And do the other bathrooms up, laundry, and then sell it. And I should make about $200,000 on doing that. So then I can buy something nicer down the beach. Spend that money anyway.
That's going to be a deal.
Well, I'm looking.
It'll be a deal as well as a PPR.
I go down, I keep going down to these houses every weekend. I drag my little granddaughter with me and I say, come and look and find where Granny's going to go and live. She goes, oh, I like this one. It's got a playground. Oh, this one's got a slide. Oh, can I use the trampoline? No, you can't use the trampoline. But it's fun. She loves it.
So obviously your more important things than real estate is your kids.
My kids. My kids are everything.
And your grandkids.
Look, I... Because they had such a hard upbringing with their father, who, by the way, none of them speak to because he doesn't put any effort in, and which was a really hard thing
for me to let go,
so I've let that go.
It's not part of your future anymore, so just let it go and give it love.
Yes.
Give it no bad energy.
I felt like I'd let them all down for a long time, and my lightning bolt moment was when my ex had hold of me around my neck and my three youngest boys came up and told him to leave me alone. And I was like, they're protecting me. Oh, my God. I haven't done that for them. And I felt horrible and I knew I had to get out of that relationship. And because otherwise they're all, some of them already had mental health issues and I was going to lose my children. And I was going to be stuck with this man that was controlling and they needed me. So my whole thing is I want to make them the better people and the best people they should be and they deserve to be. They deserved a childhood that wasn't the way it was. They didn't deserve to be hit. They didn't deserve to be told that they were never good enough, that they were not perfect. None of them have got self-belief. They've got social anxiety, eating disorders, you know, we've been through probably everything. But they are recovering. So we're working on it. We're going through things and we keep hitting road bumps and it goes up and down and up and down, but we're getting through it. And everybody used to say to me when I left my ex, they go, oh, why did you leave? You had everything. You two look like the perfect couple.
Externally.
And I'm like, you don't know what it was like. You have no idea. You see somebody from the outside and you see and perceive what they're like on from their external. And then you, if you open those doors and see their life, it's not like that. Like everybody's got struggles. Everybody here, I hear these stories and it's amazing stories that everyone's coming from somewhere, something that they've had to go through. And it's a matter of making that step forward and oh my God, thank God I found you. Because I've actually got myself back. I'm the person I should have been and now I'm trying to get my children to be the person that they are. The two boys in that last slide, if you can go back to it, that are in the life-saving, they've got the medals around their neck.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest one, not the oldest, he's the youngest, he's my baby. He wanted to be a lifesaver. My ex would never have let me drive down to the beach and take him to lifesaving. As soon as I left him, I joined him up and we started going down 3 days a week and nearly an hour away to go lifesaving. And the other one then joined him and they started doing rowing, surf boat rowing, and it was so much fun. And I loved driving with them and talking to them and having that relationship. And that was fantastic. So, you know... And look, my other son, last year at this conference, I was supposed to have brought Alan. He's supposed to come to everything with me because I joined him. He came, he was my partner. He couldn't come, so I joined and I'd paid for flights and everything for him to come, but he had to work. He wasn't going to get out of it. So I said to Mark, what about you come? Because a month before on my birthday, he was still living in at my husband's property, not in the house, and he was still working for my ex, and he tried to kill himself. And he was in a really, really bad place. He was always angry, and he was... you couldn't talk to him properly. He was angry at life. He was using drugs all the time. He didn't realise how bad a place he was in until that happened. And then, of course, he had didn't know what to do. I dragged him to this, and he has still got all of Dipner's quotes on his wall. And the main quote he has got is, "The pain of remaining the same must outweigh the pain of change." And he has resonated with you, and it changed his life. He moved in with me. He moved in with me, and he left his father's business, and he's actually working for me most of the time, but he does some subcontracting for other people. But he is now sober, but has had ups and downs, you know, people do, and they get in with the wrong crowds, or they have other people influence them in their lives, and it's still a tough road. But I just really, really hope that he's over there, and I would really like him to come up at the moment. Mark, wherever you are.
Is he?
This boy so much, and he is another reason why Dipner is just created and changes so many people's lives. And you know, he's a new man most of the time. So we're still a work in progress, aren't we?
Yeah, pretty good progress there.
So he's you're going to be my labourer.
Yeah, labourer, chippy, flasher, plumber, the works.
I've actually made him learn how to do decks, building walls, tiling. He's sort of becoming a man of all trades now.
Do you want to go down the property industry? Down this line?
Yeah, 100%.
100%. You know your mum, as Platinum, can come to everything.
Yep.
Why don't you come along with her? Because your talent in this industry is going to be very valuable. You could join venture with so many people here to do deals where you can share in their profits. You could start to find deals. You're out and about in the market all day long. You know, you can see stuff. You can learn how to identify a deal and how to do the numbers and how to actually do the deal with people. And, you know, give yourself a year. Give yourself 2 years. You could have $200,000, $300,000, $400,000 in your back pocket. And you will have so many friends in this I Love Real Estate community that don't do drugs, don't do stuff, don't do
That's
all that other thing, other
yeah.
shit, you know?
Yeah, yeah, getting away from the bad crowd, yep.
Well, if you, this is a choice you've got to make, you know?
Yeah, want to make that choice, yeah, I have been.
It's a choice, you know, life's a choice. Where we go, what we do, everything's a choice. It's our choice. It's your life. You will make your life whatever you want to make it. And if you want to choose this, I want to support you in that. And come along with your mum to everything, because you have so many talents that are just so suited to this community and this future. All we've got to do is get you to see it. Because you could go and do a deal tomorrow and make 40 grand. And then you could go and do a deal after that could make 60 grand. And another one that makes 100. And then another one that makes 300. And that could be your reality. I mean, how old are you?
24.
You're 24. Why don't you set a goal that by the time you're 30, 6 years, give me a figure. What would you like to be worth when you're 30?
Oh, it's not even what I'd like to be worth, just be able to have free time and, yes, help Mum out, I guess, yeah.
Okay, stop looking at Mum. What would you
I've
like to
them well?
What would you like to live on every year? How much money would you like to come in every year?
Oh, I can live on 60k. I could live on 80k. Like, I don't need much to live on. I just want to go on holidays, really.
So let's say you had 100k passive income.
That'd be pretty good holidays, yeah.
Yeah. Well, to have 100k passive income, that's $2,000 a week, right?
Yeah.
So you could do deals along the way. You could create passive income. You could allocate maybe, I don't know, a month, 2 months a year where you go, that's my holiday time. The rest of the time, you work really hard.
Yeah, which, you know, I already do, yeah.
Yeah, so you work really hard, but work smarter. You know, get in and actually do deals where you share in the profit, where you're not working for wages, you're working for profit. And if you do that, I tell you, over the next couple of years, your mum's going to be around to drag you along to everything. Come to all the I Love Real Estate events. She can come to everything. Come to all the other I Love Real Estate events with her, because all you got to do is see it for you. And I tell you what, if you see it for you, all your brothers and sisters will start to see it for them as well.
Yeah.
So you can be the leader. You can be the one that changes your entire family. Would you like that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, pretty much, because I see myself as their sort of dad, I guess, yeah.
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 And, you know, you got all these people and a whole lot more that you'll meet along the way that, you know, we think differently. And there's young people here. There's Nicole, stand up for me, Dell.
Join my group.
Nicole, stand up, sweetie. They meet up. They have little Facebooky things going on. Get in with some
definitely.
Good. Get in with a good crowd. All right.
Yep.
Okay.
No, thank you. Definitely keen to get amongst it.
So obviously your final figures are pretty jolly good.
Yes, yes. Final
you know,
figures are really good.
Your increase in equity there of nearly $3 million in, what are we talking about, 2 years?
Yeah. Well, that's when I finished, you know, the couple
yeah,
that
sure.
I've done. So it's still another year to go probably.
Okay, call it 3 years.
Yeah.
You know, property wealth from JVs, we're talking about another four there. You've got passive income, $100,000. Increase in your self-managed super and increase in the income of another, you know, $22,000. You're doing pretty
passive
well, though.
Passive income's great.
Yeah.
But, you know.
With all your naughtiness, you're still doing well.
I am. I keep dreaming about things. No,
that's all right. Like, but we do need to finish some deals along
yes,
the way.
Yes, I do. So I'm going to keep finishing. I've got two done and a couple more that are going to be finished early in the year.
No,
so.
You really are an amazing awesome. Inspiration.
Look, this is another one that you've just gone and offered that to. But last night at dinner, which, by the way, just coming here to be at dinner and stay in this beautiful motel and everything, breakfast, it's been great. It's been just, I don't know, you do so much for so many people. And last night you're talking to my daughter and a lot of people just don't listen to her because she's younger and she's, you know, she's still 31, but she's got a master's social degree.
She has. She's amazing.
She's had a massive life of bad experiences and everything, and you listened to her last night and you said you'll give her time.
I want to sit with her.
And she was
I want to spend some days.
Like, that woman is amazing. And she goes, I would love to sit with her because she could be our thing that we can do this, Mum. Because our plan was to start a home or something for abused women and things, and since I've sort of put that out there, there's been so many people that have come up and said, oh, can we do that with you? Oh, I want to do that too. That's what we wanted to do. You have to get this organized. And she's the person, my daughter is the person that wants to run it. She's always had this passion that she wants to help people and she wants to run it, and she's got the knowledge and the know-how. And
well, I want to understand it. She works with the homeless, and you know, we're talking about the homeless, and we're talking about how You know, people end up on the street and things like that. And, you know, she was talking about the structure and the system and how it fails them and all this sort of stuff. And I said, look, I need to understand it because maybe, I don't know, maybe if I can understand it, we can find a solution to some of the issues that are there. And still, you know, if you can find a solution that is economical, that is profitable, it has longevity. It's not just a band-aid, it's not a gift, it's not any of those things, but it's a structure that can have longevity, and that's what needs to be developed. So I said, I need to understand it. I don't know enough. I don't know the circumstances. I don't see it enough. I asked her, could I sit with her while she's, you know, talking to the homeless and doing her normal job for, you know, a few days, so I can just kind of see the issues, see what's going on, see why people fall out of the system and do all of those other things. So we'll get that organised.
Yep, well, that's fantastic. I can't believe that you... And she was just like, well, I thought she was too busy though. And I said, she probably...
Look, I'm busy, but I can do it,
but
you know.
She said, she is, if anyone's going to change things, she's the woman. So thank you. You're changing the world. Pay It Forward, that movie, on absolute mega million people. That's what you're doing. And this is for you.
Oh, thank you, sweetie.
Thank you,
girl.
I have tried to get as many people to sign and fill this book out as possible, but if anyone didn't get to fill it out... If Dipner will be able to leave it up
there. Aren't you beautiful? Look at this.
People can write in it, say what they want, say thank you, whatever. And
thank you.
She can keep that for 2018 Super Conference.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. You're amazing.
I want to see more of you.
Yes, definitely.
Promise? All right.
100%. So I want to just say quickly thank you to not only Dipner, who's amazing, everybody knows that. Is Mickey has just grounded my feet and he's amazing. And every time I go to the monthly meetings, I'm like, yay. Danuta has been my solicitor through most of my deals and some of the Queensland ones, Pacific Law, just fantastic. All of the other coaches, anyone I've ever rung, Michael Dempsey, Tamara, everyone that comes to every one of your events, you have got such a good team. And thank
you. I have.
Absolutely, everyone.
Absolutely. Give him a big round of applause.
And the last person I want to in is all of you. You are my family. You are my friends. It is amazing to have people that are like-minded and are just so personal with me. And you can tell them anything and talk to them about anything. And I'm like... I've just always looked for this and it's just so empowering and you are all just such lovely people. I haven't met all of you, but I've been trying and I would have only done that because of these two people anyway. I wouldn't have done that years ago. So thank you to everyone in the community and I hope I get to meet everybody and you're all wonderful.
Thank you, Christine. Thank you. What's your name?
Well, what did you think of Christine's story? Pretty remarkable woman, isn't she? And, you know, it is a story that I hear around the country on all too frequent a situation. You know, so many people come to me in very similar circumstances, some better, some worse than Christine. And it's really about, yes, being able to know what to do financially, but also to rebuild yourself. And being part of the I Love Real Estate community, as you can see, has made massive, massive difference in people's lives, people like Christine. Now, if you'd like to see more of these incredible stories, just go to my website, www.iloverealestate.tv, and there's links there all over the place that you can tap into. I've got lots and lots of resources that you can listen to and absorb and read and watch and all sorts of good free stuff there. And if you'd like to see me around the trap sometime, keep a lookout for some of the free one-day events that I do around the countryside. So have a look, keep a lookout for those, and I'll see you on the next podcast. Bye now.